Hello and welcome to What the Faux Travel Podcast with Nick and Amy. This is Series 3, Episode 6, and this one's all about Uruguay.
Entre una lluvia de estrellas viene el amor. Trae abiertas las alas y el corazón.
Thank you guys for joining us for another episode of What the Faux Travel Podcast. Like Amy said, we're talking about Uruguay. This will conclude our South American trip that we took about 8 months ago now.
God, was it 8 months?
Yeah, 8 months ago. We're only just finally updating the listeners on everything we did. So yeah, Uruguay was our last stop in South America. After Uruguay, we flew home via Cuba. But yeah, we're going to tell you a lot about this country, which we admit we knew nothing about before. But before we get on to Uruguay, we have some big news. This is a massive day in the history of What the Faux.
It is, actually, yeah.
We have a sponsor.
Yes!
Whoa! This is big time. Like, this is great. And this is great news for us, obviously. Great news for everyone that listens to the show, because it just kind of secures the future of the show, and we're going to be able to keep going for longer and bring you guys bigger and better stuff, really. Now, the sponsor is a company called Storyteller. And it's actually a really, really good fit. What these guys do, they make travel accessories, these little kind of metal-like flags you can put on your keychains. When you go to a country, you get the flag and, you know, it's a little souvenir, a memory of when you went to that country. But so what they do with some of their profits, they go towards providing access to education for people in less privileged areas of the world. So not only do they make cool products, which, you know, the travel products are exactly in line with what we do, they also help people around the world. So it's a really, really good fit.
Yeah, and we're really happy that we're working with Storyteller now, so let's roll the jingle.
This episode is sponsored by Storyteller, the travel accessories company that helps provide access to a quality education for individuals in less privileged areas of the world.
So we will be giving you some more info on Storyteller in our next mini episode. Don't worry, it's not going to be just one big plug about the company. We're going to be talking about volunteering in other countries because, you know, there's lots of questions out there. It's something that we've been looking at doing for a while now, but there's so many questions. You know, some places you have to pay a lot of money. Sometimes you have to only pay for your stay. Some places you don't have to pay at all. How do you know that you're working with a good company? You're not stealing local people's jobs. There's so many questions, so we're going to delve into that for our next mini episode with Bav, who is the owner of Storyteller, and I'm very excited to have a chat with him about it because it's something I genuinely want to know about. So Nick, let's kick off this episode starting with some shout outs.
Okay, so let's kick things off with Melanie Haynes. She got in touch on Twitter. She said, just discovered your podcast. She saw the link to our podcast through the episode that we did with Dave Cornthwaite. And she says that she loves the show. She's now binge listening and looking forward to our Oslo episode, which is now out. And I know she's listened because she said how much she loved that as well. So thanks, Melanie.
Thanks, Melanie.
We also heard from Craig on Instagram. Said, hi, guys. I've been traveling in Israel for the last 2 weeks and I've been re-listening to our Series 3 of the podcast. That's cool that people re-listen. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we should start bringing out some more content, so...
Yeah, maybe he's telling us make new stuff. But he said he completely agrees with our points on the episode we did with Nick, Indigo Traveller, about the media. He said in his experience, Israel is a very safe country, but of course it gets a very bad reputation. The next shout out goes to long-term listener Matthew Chapman. He's recently been travelling, I think it was around like Southeast Asia and places like that. But he's been in touch just saying that he really enjoys the show. So Matthew, you're my man. Thank you very much for listening. Now this next one, this is an interesting one. We got a message on Instagram from a guy called Carlos. Now he's from the USA, but he has friends and family in Argentina. And he was visiting Argentina over Christmas and New Year. And that's when we were in Argentina.
I know which one this is now.
So he listened to our Argentina episode and he heard us talking about hitchhiking and where we were on certain days. Because it was New Year's Eve, we were hitchhiking. Then we hitchhiked a few days later. And he said, guys, I was driving that exact route. And I remember seeing two gringos, aka white people. He said, I remember seeing a couple, a guy and a girl, on the side of the road hitchhiking.
Oh,
and
my
that was
God.
Us.
Oh, I can't believe that we've actually been spotted this time. That's
Does that
really
mean,
cool.
are we big time now? Have we made it?
I feel like we are big time.
A listener spotted us. So he was like, oh, I wish I picked you up now. So, and he said he's sorry, but he couldn't. I think he said the car wasn't big enough. But that's mind blowing. Small world, hey?
Crazy stuff.
Chris on Twitter said, good luck. to us on our big trip, and he really enjoys the podcast. So that's very nice. Thank you, Chris.
Yeah, that's really nice. And so if you didn't hear our last episode, we're basically quitting our jobs and going traveling full time. And that's going to be happening in about 5 weeks' time. So we're prepping ourselves already. We're selling all of our belongings on eBay and things like that. Exciting times.
Very exciting. And a few people have also said good luck. So thank you, everyone that's got in touch. It really means a lot. This is quite a funny one. Long-term listener Ed Patrick, who we met at one of our meetups, one of our faux parties. Do you remember on the last episode, or maybe the one before that, another listener, I think it was Sabrina, got in touch and she said, oh, if you want a proper, authentic Chinese restaurant, here it is in London. Ed went to that restaurant and he said it was really, really good.
There you go. What the foe's connecting you with all the good restaurants around London.
Amazing. We also heard from Dominic Bolton. He sent us a message on Facebook saying that he loves the podcast and asked if we're going to start a YouTube channel for our big trip. What do you think, Amy?
Yes. Well, I think this is another big announcement. I finally got Nick to agree to do a YouTube channel because it's something I've wanted to do for a while now. But obviously, it's more than a one-person job, so I need you to be on board. But I think it's going to be a bit like the podcast because at the start of this, you didn't want to do the podcast, did you? And I was like, well, just be a guest on my first episode. I'll do it myself, whatever. Then from then on, we didn't even have the discussion. You just got involved and now you're
I've taken over.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I don't get to make any decisions anymore. So hopefully that happens with the YouTube.
Yeah, but we're very aware. We want to keep it different from what's out there already on YouTube. There's thousands and hundreds and millions of people doing, you know, very cool travel YouTube stuff. So we're going to try and keep it our own style. But yeah, we will be putting more videos up for sure.
We've got ideas. We've got bits and pieces.
We have got some bits and pieces up our sleeve. And finally, we heard from Anne. And I'm going to try to say, I'm not sure if it's a surname or a middle name. It's Norwegian. Signe. I'm very sorry. It's a Norwegian name. I think I've got that completely wrong. But she said that our Oslo episode was perfect listening while she was on her way to Oslo. Thank you very much, Anne. I think that's great if locals actually like what we're saying about their country or their city. That's quite a good
stamp of approval, I'd say.
Exactly, yeah. I think so. So thank you so much for getting in touch. And that is it for this month.
Lovely. And again, thank you so much for all of your messages and private DMs and all of that. It's honestly so nice and we love it. It's obviously it keeps us going and we know we're doing people proud when we're talking about their countries, like you just said. While you're at it, if you could drop us an iTunes review, that would really, really help because it helps us go up on iTunes and more people can find us. So if you've got a spare few minutes, go on iTunes. Okay, so coming up on the show today, as usual, we're going to have some game show facts about Uruguay. We are going to talk about Montevideo, the capital, another place called Colonia, Punta del Este. We're going to be talking about candombe, which is a kind of music dance performance, dating in Uruguay, because that's quite an interesting one. Fake weddings is something that's going to pop up on today's episode. A lot of football history, as well as Uruguay was the first place that they ever held the World Cup, which leads me on to our game this month, which is involving my co-producer at work at BBC, Adam Bennett. He is joining us for our World Cup game. Girls, don't worry. I have kept it topical for you as well. It's not all about football. And guys, if you're not into it. But yeah, our game this month is all about the World Cup. So before we go into game show facts, let's just have a little discussion about Uruguay. So I don't know about you, Nick, but before going, all I knew was that it was a Spanish-speaking country and I used to regularly get it confused with Paraguay because they're quite close together, similar-ish names.
Yes, names are similar.
So just got them confused. What about you?
Yeah, before going to Uruguay, I didn't know much about it. The only thing I knew was this.
I think Branislav Ivanovic is insinuating here that Luis Suarez bit him.
And this.
Look at this country. You are gay.
But now we are going to educate ourselves and the rest of the world about Uruguay. So let's get on with it.
Uruguay, game show facts. Nick, go.
Music. Despite being dwarfed by neighbouring Brazil and Argentina, Uruguay is known as a more affluent country in South America and is recognised for its advanced education and liberal social laws. The population is around 3.5 million and the capital city is Montevideo. The national language is Spanish. High taxes on industry has labelled Uruguay the Switzerland of South America. A cancer doctor by profession, Tabare Vasquez served as president in 2005 to 2010. The first ever FIFA Soccer World Cup was held in Uruguay in 1930. Uruguay defeated Argentina 4-2 and won this World Cup. The country is the first in the world to produce a free laptop and Wi-Fi connection to its school children. Uruguay produced almost 95% of its electricity from renewable sources in 2015. Amazingly, Uruguay has the world's poorest politician. Their 2010 to 2015 president, José Mujica, lived a simple life, donating 90% of his salary to noble causes. He owns a one-bedroom house and a three-legged dog. Colonial towns, beach resorts, and a year-round mild climate have contributed to a growing tourist industry.
A personal fave there. Three-legged dog. Do you want to, again, please explain, because you can't just drop that in the end. What happened with the dog?
Have I gone into detail about this? No, I haven't. It's just a good headline. One-bedroom apartment, three-legged dog. He's a humble man.
Yeah, and we did hear that a lot when we were there, people talking about that he was a good man, and yeah, 90% of his salary.
That's amazing. And yeah, normally you hear about politicians who do the opposite of that, and people who are corrupt, and you know, it happens a lot around South America. It's a shame, it's true, but corrupt governments. But Uruguay,
well,
is...
and the rest of the world, we can't just section out Latin America.
No, you're absolutely right. I was just going on what some of the locals themselves had told us about South America. But you're right, it happens all around the world. But Uruguay is, it's not a very corrupt country at all, which is great.
And this kind of baffles me, really, because there's a lot of good that comes out of Uruguay. Like you're saying, with the renewable energy and all of that, they've done some really incredible things. Yet here in Europe, especially, we don't really hear much about Uruguay. I mean, I didn't know much about it before we went. And it was one of those things where we're like, oh, we're close by, so we might as well drop in. But it kind of blew me away. I didn't realise it was a country with this much good to come out of it. So, yeah, I'm really happy that we went.
Completely agree. But you're right, a lot of people miss it. But yeah, we're going to find out in the next hour or so why we really liked it.
So if you've never really seen Uruguay on a map, it's kind of, well, at first I thought like a diamond shape, but I don't know. What do you think? How would you explain it?
More like a pear shape.
Yeah, like a pear on its side kind of thing. The north is kind of more gaucho land. So everybody thinks that gauchos are specifically from Argentina, yet they're actually really big in Uruguay as well, aren't they?
Yeah, I think Chile as well. It's just a South American thing.
Yeah, absolutely. But so it's the north that if you want to go horseback riding, work on a farm, things like that, you can do that in the north. We actually didn't go there because we didn't have enough time, but I would have really loved to have done that. But the bottom is just surrounded by sea. So you've got a lot long coast all along the bottom where there's lots that you can do. It's kind of a holiday place for Brazilians, Argentinians and all of that. That's kind of where they see their holiday place. So here in England, we would typically go to France or Spain, and that's their holiday destination.
Yeah, like over New Year, it seems like half of Argentina go to Uruguay for holiday.
Yeah, so we were coming from Argentina. So we were coming in from the left side on our trip. We travelled from Buenos Aires to a place called Colonia in Uruguay. So that's, you just literally get the ferry across. How long was the ferry? Would we say an hour and a half?
Yeah, something like that. It wasn't long.
And you get into Colonia, which is probably one of the most beautiful places I've ever been, especially a port town, because port towns kind of sometimes are quite grubby, aren't
yeah.
they?
Oh, it was amazing. It was beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, and the name Colonia suggests that, you know, it's a colonial town. It is just beautiful. It reminded me a lot of Paraty in Brazil.
Yes.
Kind of the old buildings, because the Portuguese, it was a colonial Portuguese place in Paraty, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
But this was, I'm guessing, Spanish colonial?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. But it actually reminded me a lot of Ibiza. I remember walking around, everything's kind of white, everybody is dressed really cool, very bohemian, and it was just such a stunning place. I really loved it. We spent a night there in quite a cheap hotel, then walked around and had some really great food. The food was a bit expensive though, I remember.
Yeah, the whole place. It was like, it was a beautiful town, but it knew it. It knew it was, so therefore prices are a bit more, yeah.
It's like one of those models, you have to take her out for a nice meal.
She knows it.
She knows it. She knows she looks good, so you have to pay a lot for her.
After that, we then went to, I guess, another place that knows it's hot. And that was Punta del Este.
Yeah, which means East Point.
Yeah, and that was, again, an expensive place. But this is where a lot of Argentinians and, I guess, local Uruguayans go on holiday. So, again, with that, it was expensive. But Punta del Este, we did that as a treat. It was actually Amy's birthday at the time. So we thought, why not?
Yes, I was turning 27. But to get there, so if you're looking on a map, we had to kind of drive all along the coast. We went past Montevideo to get to Punta del Este. So we kind of stopped there, and then we knew we were coming back to the capital because, yeah, Montevideo is the capital. So we knew we were coming back. We also were looking at going to a place called Punta del Diablo, so Devil's Point. In Argentina specifically, we got a lot of people and locals telling us to go to Punta del Este or Punta del Diablo. And we had to kind of make a choice because we didn't have much time. But if you do have time, I would recommend going there because we've got so many suggestions for it.
Yeah, I think people told us it's a more chilled out version of Punta del Este.
Yeah, less built up and less touristy. So we would have liked to go there for sure. But it was a bit further along the coast and we thought we'll have more time if we go to Punta del Este. So we went there.
And then we finished our Uruguay trip by going to the capital, Montevideo.
Which we did some couch surfing with a guy called Pedro, which you'll hear from later. He was really cool, had a very down-to-earth opinion of his own country, which, which we'll definitely hear about.
Like we said, first stop was Colonia. We've pretty much summed up what we did there, because we didn't do a great deal. We weren't there for very long, but by the water, walking around the port and the town, it was really, really beautiful. Just lots of people chilling out on the holiday, nice restaurants, lots of shops where you can buy souvenirs. Really, really pretty place. So we would recommend people going there. We can't say for sure if there's a lot to do because we're only there for like a day or two. But definitely check it out. It was stunning.
I've just remembered something that you may be forgetting.
Yeah.
So we went to our hotel or hostel, whatever. I think it was a hotel actually that we stayed. It was actually cheaper than the hostels there.
Yeah.
Do you remember where we went as soon as we dropped our bags?
No.
We went to the hot dog stand.
Oh, they have an incredible hot dog
place.
Oh
my goodness, yeah. Guys. If you go there, go to the hot dog stand. It's kind of on the main road. There's a main road of shops, which in the most politically correct way, it's kind of the not so nice side of Colonia. So it's kind of this one long street, which reminded me of kind of English touristy, kind of cheap souvenir shops and kind of things like that. But this hot dog stand, oh my goodness, there was queues on the outside because it's quite a small shop, but there must have been about 25 people in the queue when we joined it. Oh my God, there's so many things you can put on this hot dog. It was great. just go there.
And they had free Wi-Fi, which like is a traveler's dream because we're trying to arrange the rest of our trip. So then we, for the next like day or two, we kept wandering like just close enough to the place to get Wi-Fi connection so we could organize what we were doing. But yeah, I'd say for Colonia, that's about it. That sums it up. We really liked it. We'd recommend it if you're passing through. So the next place we went to was Punta del Este.
Yes, as I said, this is a very holiday type place for Argentinians, Brazilians and the rest of South America. So it's kind of like our Spain, our south of Spain or south of France. Beautiful. It really reminded me of Marbella. There's lots of big buildings. There's lots to do there. Very holiday type place. I remember in the sea, there was a big inflatable challenge. So I swam over to that, got told off by some Spanish people. Uruguayans.
It was a private party.
Yeah, for kids. And I jumped on there because I thought anyone could go on there. And then one of the mums was like, oh yeah, eso es para los niños. Like, this is for the children. And I was like, no hablo español.
Then you're thinking like, it's my birthday. Let me play.
You just shouted at me on my birthday. This is not fair.
But yeah, it was Punta del Este. It was a really cool place to be for, I think, we were there for about 4 days. Good place to be for your birthday. Beach was really nice. And January, you know, you're used to having a birthday in the winter back home when no one wants to go out because everyone's broke after Christmas and New Year.
Yeah.
So it was really nice to be in a place where it was like peak season. There's a lot going on. We were sunbathing in January, which for English people is so strange, but it was really, really good.
It was so weird. I'm sure everybody's had this, but it was just one of those birthdays where I kept forgetting it was my birthday because, yeah, it's sunny. What? Why am I in a bikini on my birthday? This is so weird.
Yeah, and we went to a nice restaurant. We got a bit dressed up, you know, had cocktails, went to a casino as well. Do you remember that?
Ah, yes. Yeah, because I'd never been in a casino before and we didn't really know what to do in the evening, so we checked that out. Saw some people spending a lot of money. Obviously, we were travelling, so we couldn't.
Yeah, and it was all like US dollars, and they were spending like 100 US dollars a go.
We thought at first they were doing it in Uruguayan pesos, and yes, so it was like 100 at a time, or I think it was 25 actually, 25 a go. And we're thinking, oh, okay, so they're not spending much money. Then we realised it was in dollars, and we were like, oh my God, that guy is spending so much money.
Yeah, so we just watched. We didn't spend any.
He was spending about $25 every 5 seconds, maybe. Which I know it's gambling, and everybody kind of knows. Because we hadn't really been to a casino properly before sober, then, yeah, it was a bit shocking. But anyway, also that day when we was on the beach, do you remember we walked past that kind of club scene? And that's when I really felt like I was in Ibiza, because it was this big club on the beach and everybody was really dressed up. Everybody looked amazing and they had really cool electronic music. So it's a really vibrant, young, modern place. And again, I just wasn't expecting it because I didn't know anything from Uruguay. I was just suddenly in the centre of Ibiza, it felt like. And I was like, what is going on?
For sure. Punta del Este is one of these places where like it's in a bubble, a bit like Ibiza or like Marbella in Spain, probably like Vegas, you know, them kind of places where they're not really in the real world. It's just a massive tourist place and really, but you know, good fun. It was a nice change of pace from what we were doing, you know, dirty backpacking for most of our trip.
Absolutely. And as any kind of holiday destination, I'd recommend if you go in there, book your accommodation early because we didn't know it was that type of place. We didn't book. And so we ended up having to go with something a bit more expensive than we would have liked. It was still a beautiful place and we're happy that we did it. But yeah, if you're on a budget, then definitely book early.
Great tip. So should we move on to the capital of Uruguay?
Montevideo.
So far, we'd had a really great time in Uruguay, but like we were saying, it didn't really feel like proper travelling, proper backpacking, because we were in a bit of like holiday mode. It was Amy's birthday. But when we got to the capital, Montevideo, Uruguayan culture really started to come alive. Now, at first, Uruguayans won't like this, but at first, Uruguay seemed like a bit of a mini Argentina, okay? Everyone was walking around drinking mate. That's the tea we spoke about in the Argentina episode. And at first, when you get to Montevideo, it looks very similar to Buenos Aires.
Yeah, so they have a lot of doubled up buildings. So when we went on our walking tour, they were telling us, oh, if you've been to Argentina, Buenos Aires, you might have seen this building before. This is a replica.
Yeah, exactly. So it was looking very similar. So we're thinking, is this just a mini Argentina? But we will soon start to discover what makes Uruguay very unique.
So like I just said, we did a walking tour while we were in Montevideo and we learned some very interesting things about Uruguay. Now, bear in mind, we're in South America, a very religious continent, which has suffered many problems with their drugs. But surprisingly, Uruguay has some very relaxed drug laws. Our guide, Cynthia, explains.
In 2014, we approved the legalization of marijuana. Before 2014, it was illegal to smoke marijuana in the streets. You could do it, but it was illegal to buy marijuana. It was illegal to grow marijuana. It was illegal to get it in any way. So it was like weird. And in 2014, we approved this law that let us get access to marijuana in three different ways. You can be a member of a cannabis club, so you have like a limit of grams with the club and the price they set it. Then we can grow it at our houses. We can have up to 6 plants of marijuana per house, just per house. Doesn't matter how much people is into the house, it's per house. And then we can buy the marijuana at the pharmacies. We can buy up to 40 grams of marijuana per month per person that is more than 18 years old. It has signed up to a marijuana list before. You have to sign up and then you can buy up to 10 grams per week. It's 10, 10, 10, 10 and you get 40 per month, and that's how it works.
And you can, they track it by your fingerprint, right?
Yes, you have to register with your fingerprints, and then when you go to the pharmacy, you put your fingerprint in there so they know how much have you taken in that month, how much do you have left, so they control it on that way. There's a situation with people that the machine doesn't read the fingerprints. It's happening now, and we are talking about that because some people, I know people that work into construction, for example, their fingerprints, you can read it, so that people can buy marijuana, and it's like a situation, but they are thinking about it because it's too new. It's like they start doing it last July, so they are still like trying to see how it works.
And just to be clear, so tourists can't buy marijuana, though?
No. Tourists can buy the flowers of marijuana, but tourists can buy things that are made of marijuana, such as, cookies, brownies, oils, whatever that is made with marijuana, you can buy it. But the flowers is just for Uruguayans. So
now, I was surprised to learn about the cannabis law, but I was also surprised to learn that for a South American country, the majority of Uruguayans are atheists.
Yes, we are. We are in here is 51% of the population was they say they were atheists on the last census. That's a lot for South America. I mean, South America is the most Catholic continent of all the world, but Uruguay is the least religious country of all the continents, so we don't afford very much to it. The strongest religion is the Catholicism, but it's not more than 30-something, 34-35% of the population. So it really makes a difference into South America.
Can you just tell us about fake weddings and what they are?
Yeah. It's not very popular getting married in here. That's the thing. People don't get married. Because having the rights of getting married, we have already a law that says that if you live for 5 years or longer with the same person, you have exactly the same rights as if you were married. And so it's really easy. And getting married is just for the tradition. But the religious tradition is not very strong in here because most of us are atheists. So what we started doing alongside with Argentinians, but it's really popular in here, is fake wedding parties. That is, as we have a lack of weddings, we also have a lack of wedding parties. So we started doing this. That is like just two people that don't know each other, or they know each other and they are not a couple, but they just want to have the party. So it's just for the party. They say they get married, they make all the ceremony, but it's not legal. You just go there. It's like a public event on Facebook. So you have to pay for going it. You get there, you pick your role on the party. So for example, you're the best man, so you have to make a toast for the just married because you're the best man and you're supposed to, but you don't know them. You have to invent the whole thing in there. But it's really funny, and we started doing that. Maybe 1 year and a half ago. It's really popular.
Argentinian people say Uruguayans are boring, but you're obviously not. That sounds really good fun. So can you mention the name of the tour company and how people can find you?
Yeah, it's a free walking tour Montevideo. They can find us at actually any social media. Now we are doing tours every day from Mondays to Mondays. From Mondays to Fridays, 11 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. We start at Plaza Independencia, which is the Independence Square, and we are wearing red clothes. And on Saturday and Sundays, we do it just at 2 p.m. because in the morning everyone's sleeping, so it's not very good for weekends. So, it's at TripAdvisor, Facebook, at any social media, it's Free Walking Tour Montevideo.
Legal drugs, atheists, and fake weddings. That is not something you'd associate with South America, is it?
No, not at all. And so these fake weddings, we really wanted to go to one, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, that would have been amazing.
Yeah, so after the walking tour, we went back to try and find some Wi-Fi, and we got straight onto Facebook because apparently that's the best way to find them. And I was searching for Falsa Boda, which means fake wedding. There would just be a random event for it. Like Cynthia described there, the bride and groom actually don't know each other. So you pay like £10 or whatever the equivalent is. It's not actually that expensive. And you say you want to attend the party, and then everybody gets given a role. So you might become the bride, you might become the groom, you might become the best man. And like she said, the best man doesn't know the groom, yet he still has to tell a speech about him, which is amazing. It just sounds so wacky and weird, and I really want to go to one.
So good. Yeah, I wish we could have gone to one. If anyone's listening and they're going to Uruguay, if you go to one, please let us know how it is.
Yeah, take some pictures, take some videos and send it to us, because we can put it up on our Instagram or something, because it would be really good to see.
But yeah, imagine getting the role of best man or father of the bride, or and you have to make this like big emotional speech in front of all these strangers. But then I'm sure once the beer gets flowing and the music starts, that would be such a fun party.
Yeah, definitely. And Uruguay actually isn't big on legal weddings, because do you remember on our walking tour we went past the one building in Montevideo that you can get married? And it's really weird because it's next to this other shop which has a bit of a rude name to it. It's not so rude, but it says tits on it. So with your wedding photos, because it's kind of just on a high street, so there isn't really a very picturesque place to have your wedding photos, so people have it on the outside. But if the photographer is kind of not so clever about it, he'll get pictures of tits in their wedding photos.
So it's really interesting. Again, you know, we're learning stuff that we never knew about Uruguay. So while we were on our walking tour, this is about halfway through, we were approached by this guy and a camera crew. And basically this guy was a magician. A bit like, I think, Dynamo, or who's the American guy?
David Blaine.
David Blaine. Yeah. He was doing some magic on the street. And the fact that we were foreigners, you know, from London, I think that kind of looks good for their TV show. So, like, oh, you know, can we do some tricks on you? So, and he was quite good, I remember. He'd done some card tricks and whatever. And, you know, I can tell you how he did the tricks. But that's pretty cool that, you know, we were on a random Uruguayan TV station. We never saw ourselves on TV, but we were on Uruguayan TV.
I'd spotted them a bit before, hadn't I? And I was like, Nick, we need to get on TV.
Wear the What the Faux t-shirt.
Yes, get that on the screen. But then we're kind of lingering around looking at him and I was like, come over and ask us to do it. And then he did. But they just started speaking to us in Spanish, obviously. And I was like, sí, entiendo. But it was fine because it was card tricks and that. So when he said pick up a card and that, I understood, remember the card, all of that. But yeah, did some shocked faces for the camera.
How did you do that? So if anyone saw us on Uruguayan TV, please let us know.
Yeah, so we've been spotted hitchhiking. Can you spot us on Uruguayan TV?
¿Te acuerdas cuando por el Prado, con el pretexto de estudiar, íbamos juntos a aburrir nuestros cuadernos tirados en el trébol?
Next stop was the Football Museum. So because this is about football, Nick, I'll let you take the lead on this one.
Thank you. So, like I said in Game Show Facts, Uruguay was where the first ever football or soccer World Cup was. So they have a football museum, and the museum is in the stadium where the first World Cup was. And it's a stadium that was used back in 1930. And you can kind of tell, like, it does look old, and the football museum itself is quite old. It's nothing special, really, to look at. But it does have lots of cool memorabilia. If you're a football fan, for sure, go. You can see, you know, lots of shirts from famous footballers like Pelé. You know, you can look at the ball that was used in certain World Cups, and there's lots of information there, lots of football history. So I really enjoyed it, and it was very cool to see where the first ever World Cup was.
Didn't they have something specific from the England team? Was it like a shirt, or I can't remember, but David Best, is that his name?
Well, I think you're thinking of George Best, but he's from Northern Ireland anyway.
Who is David Best?
David Best, don't know. There was a signed England football shirt from when we won the World Cup in 1966. So, you know, for an Englishman, that was cool to see. But whatever your nationality, there'll be something there for you. So I really enjoyed going. It was good. It's quite cheap as well. I think I remember it's only like £5 each, you know, $5 or $6 or something like that. It wasn't very expensive. So I'd recommend doing that. That was very cool. But that leads us nicely on to our game this month. Now, this is one that Amy has prepared for us. So would you like to explain?
Yeah, well, I didn't think I'd ever be preparing a football game, to be honest, but I got through it. I've got some questions for you. For this game, we are looking at the World Cup and all World Cup history. Girls, don't worry, don't switch off, because I've added some questions in for you. Let's see if you agree. After the quiz, you can drop us a message on Instagram, because you might agree with some of my questions on there. Now, for this game, I can't have Nick playing by himself. So, Adam, hello.
Hello, Amy.
Who are you?
Who am I? Good question. Who am I?
Just somebody from work.
From my work. Okay.
From your work.
You know, right, first off, you're a person that's not very good at explaining things.
No, I'm not. I'm clearly not.
But basically, this is Adam Bennett. You're my co-producer at work, aren't you?
Yeah. 60-40.
Yeah, that's me doing 60% of the work, you doing 40. No, it's really the other way around. Anyway, you've been crying for the past year.
Crying?
About the fact that you want to come on the podcast, let's be honest.
I've been crying.
Well, you have.
I haven't been losing sleep over it. I have.
You have.
How much do you love the podcast? Are you a big fan?
Oh, I love it. I'll give it probably a 9.5 out of 10.
Oh.
Decent.
How can we get better? What's the half? What can we do?
Well,
me
being in it, so it's 10 now.
Okay. All right. Well, are you up for today's game?
Yes.
You know, because can you just tell us briefly about the time you spent in Uruguay?
There you go, done.
Yeah, I flew to Montevideo.
Yeah. What did you see there?
I saw Luis Suarez.
Yeah.
He had his teeth out.
Classic Louis.
He loves a good bite, doesn't he, that Louis?
Oh, he loves a bite.
So this is, I'm guessing this is the guy that bit the guy on the ear. Yeah. Is that right in football?
He's bitten another footballer three times.
Was it the ear?
Why biting? Why does he bite?
Well, maybe it's a Uruguayan thing.
Okay. Maybe. You would know because you spent considerable amount of time there.
Yeah.
Right, loved okay. It. Well, obviously you haven't been to Uruguay, but we thought we'd get you on this because you're quite good at your football knowledge. Kind of, I'd say, equal to Nick, possibly. I think it's going to be an equal challenge today.
Okay, yeah. What was the first World Cup you watched?
First World Cup I watched was the one in Japan, 2000? Oh, 2002. That was the first time I really got into football.
See, I've got 8 years experience over you, so 94.
94. Yeah, as a kid, I wasn't really into football.
Okay, well, I was, so...
It's got an eight-year extension on you, so how do you feel about that, Nick?
Well, so yeah, he has an advantage, but that just means the pressure's off me. The pressure's on him to win this game.
That's a good point, actually, yeah.
But let's be honest, I've written the question, so it might not be about the 94 World Cup. No. So, good luck. Anyway, let's get cracking. So, the first thing they do when they play any type of football in these cup games and stuff, they'll have an anthem, don't they? They like to play the national anthem of the countries.
Where's she going with this?
So, what I'm going to say is, Adam, you are the English team here. Okay. And Nick, you've pulled the short straw in terms of being the other country. You're Uruguay, okay?
Okay.
I want you to sing a verse of the national anthem.
That's got it in it. God. So there you go.
So let's go with Adam first, just because are you going to be sick or are you nervous?
This is pressure, this, isn't it?
You've got the easy one.
No, I literally, if I was a footballer, I wouldn't sing. Is that a bad thing? I'm patriotic, but I don't know the words.
Well, it might be more fun if you make up the words, because that's what I'm going to have to do with mine.
Okay, all right.
Would you prefer Nick to go first?
Oh, I can go first.
Okay, go on then. Right, so 3, 2, 1.
Have I got no, like, instrumental or anything?
No, go for
oh,
it.
Oh, it's a cappella, is it? God save the... Gracious Queen, God save our noble Queen, God save our Queen.
There you go.
Da, 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 da. Yeah.
There you go. That was all right, actually. Right, Nick, go for Uruguay.
So, Uruguay. I don't even know the tune or anything. Okay, I'm just going to give you all the Spanish words I know in some sort of song. Uruguay is más grande, more grande than Argentina. They are little niños. And mañana, por favor, cerveza. How was that?
That was... Yeah. And I feel you've really summed up Uruguay there, because they are very competitive with Argentina.
Big time.
So, right, topical. Okay.
Well done.
Yeah, great. Right, so let's start with a quiz.
On me head, son.
Referee is a wanker.
Offside. Penalty. You fat bastard.
Colo, 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 tole.
Kick it in the centre of the goal.
You prick.
So, guys, we've got 10 questions to get through. I have prepared 11 in case we have a penalty shootout.
That would be exciting.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's 10 questions and they're not going to alternate. So whoever answers first. Now you're going to have your own buzzers, okay? So I've prepared some for you. Nick, you're going to be, you're cheating bastards.
Can I practice?
Yeah.
You cheating bastard.
Perfect, that's good. Exactly what I want. Adam, I want you to say, ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a nice tackle.
Okay, I like the way you portray me there, okay. Oh, that's a nice tackle.
Okay. Right, okay, 10 questions. Let's go. Question number one. Robbie Williams made waves by flipping the finger during the opening ceremony. What was the first song of his set?
Oh, that's a nice tackle.
Adam?
Let's entertain you.
Yes! Let me entertain
nice.
You. So, Adam has 1 point. Okay, question number two. Panama and Iceland, the two debutants of the World Cup, picked up just 1 point between them. Against which team was it won?
Oh, you dirty bastard.
Nick. 1 point between them. Well, Panama played Tunisia. I don't know, Iceland got a point against... Australia.
No, I know.
Incorrect.
Ooh, that's a nice tackle.
Croatia.
Incorrect. I think that's a nil
point. Nigeria.
No, no. It's Argentina, boys.
Yeah, Iceland, Argentina, yeah.
Okay, so 1 point to Adam still. Question number three. How many different Uruguayan players received yellow cards in the 2018 World Cup in Russia?
Oh, that's a nice tackle. Five.
Incorrect.
Ooh, you dirty bastard.
Talk a higher or lower. Six.
Incorrect. Boys, you're awful at this. Zero.
Whoa.
Nil point.
I thought they're dirty.
A bit harsh.
Okay. Question number four, and Adam takes a 1 point lead. Can you name the three other teams against Uruguay in Group D?
Oh, you dirty bastard.
I think you're going to wait for me to finish. Of the 2014 World Cup in Brazil.
Oh, you dirty bastard.
I know it. They're in England's group. England, Italy, and Costa Rica.
That is correct.
He's back in the game.
That is correct, Nick. Well done. So you both have a point each. And we are on question number five. In my opinion, who was the hottest football player in the 2018 World Cup?
What is it?
Oh, you dirty bastard.
No, that's mine. Tackle, what is it? I can't remember.
Nice tackle.
Ooh, that's a nice tackle. I can't remember his first name, but Sassy.
That's correct. For a bonus, well, not a bonus point, but can you tell me where he's from?
Tunisia.
Yes, that is correct.
So that's 2 points.
No, not for a bonus point, I said after.
Not for a bonus point.
Sorry, you just get 1 point.
So what
there.
Was the point in that question, by the way?
I was just seeing it as a fun fact. Okay. So this is an educational game, okay? We're on question number six, and Adam takes a 2 point lead to Nick's 1 point. What was my favourite game of the 2018 tournament?
Oh, you dirty bastard.
I think that's Nick.
Was it England v Sweden?
Incorrect.
Do I still have to say tackle? I can't remember what I'm...
That's a nice tackle.
England-Colombia. Penalties.
That's correct, Adam. Of course it was my favourite. Why did you say Sweden?
Because I remember you watching it with your work friends and you said you had a really nice time and like a nice day.
She lied.
Okay, question number seven. Why didn't England, Italy, Spain, Germany and Holland not attend the first ever World Cup in 1930?
Oh, you dirty bastard.
Oh, Nick, hello.
Because it was only, there's only like eight teams in it. So either way, they did not qualify.
No, that's incorrect. Would you like to have a go at that one, Adam?
I'm going to go with that, even though it was a World Cup, Europe wasn't invited or something like that. Maybe South America were the only ones that were in it. I don't know.
Can I go again? I think I know.
I don't think you'll get the point for it, but you can see if... Well, let's see if you know it.
Is it because we were too busy in World War One?
Yeah. Oh, so due to the depression in Europe, many European players, afraid their day jobs would not exist when they returned, were either unable or unwilling to attend the tournament. So
that's interesting. That's why Uruguay won it, because there's no European teams there.
There you go. So we're 3-1 to Adam at this point.
Oh dear.
Okay. Isn't that how England lost in 2018? Oh, it's 2-1.
2-1.
Oh, okay. Okay, question number eight. In the 2010 World Cup, what was the official name for the ball?
Wow.
Oh, that's a nice tackle. I'm just going to go because I know the theme song was Waka Waka, so maybe the name of the ball was called Waka Waka.
Oh, clever answer. I like it, but it's incorrect.
Oh, you dirty bastard. Is that even my buzzer? I can't remember.
Yeah, it is.
Africa.
No, it's Jabulani.
Obviously.
How are we going to get that?
Well, I don't know. I thought if you knew it, you'd know it, wouldn't you? Question number nine. Who scored the winning goal in the final of the 2010 World Cup?
Oh, you dirty bastard.
That was... Oh, no. You go. I've gone blank.
2010. So that would have been Spain.
Ooh. Oh, you dirty bastard.
I don't know.
Iniesta.
Yes.
I gave you a clue there, so...
For a second, I thought that was the one that Germany won, but that wasn't as in Brazil. So 3-2.
So final question, number 10. What country's team is known as the Charruas and La Celeste Olímpica?
Oh, that's a nice tackle. Mexico?
Incorrect.
Oh, you dirty bastard. I'm going to have to guess, and I'm going to assume, because we're talking about Uruguay, you've gone for Uruguay.
That is correct, Nick.
Oh, that means it's 3-3. Last minute equaliser.
So that means we're going to have to go to a penalty shootout, boys.
Yes.
Okay, so penalty shootout question. Boys, are you feeling the heat?
I'm very nervous.
I even got a glass of water. I'm that nervous.
Okay. So this is about the 2018 World Cup. There were two stadiums used in Moscow. What were they called?
Oh, do I have to say?
Yes, you have to say your jingle.
That was a...
Oh, nice tackle.
Oh, nice tackle. I know one of them was the Luziki. I think it's a Luziki stadium. And then the other one is the Spartak stadium, I think. Luxny? I'm probably not pronouncing it right. Spartak and Luxy.
I'm going to give you that point there, Adam. Mm. Nick, did you not have a clue?
You said, well, there were two stadiums used. There were like six, weren't there, in the
in
World
Moscow.
Cup? Moscow. Oh, you said in Moscow.
In Moscow.
Yeah. Spartak and Luziki. I'm probably
Luzhniki,
yeah,
and Spartak stadiums.
Oh, he's done it. I don't think I would have got that.
So there you go. Adam, you won the quiz. How'd you
Thank
feel?
You. Yeah, pretty good.
Let's do like a post-match interview. How'd you feel about the game out there?
Yeah, we didn't have to use VAR, did we? So
no.
It was fair, I thought. You know, I was always winning. I was never losing. So
you're happy with the way that your players...
It was a fair result, I thought.
Yeah.
I reckon Nick would feel the same.
Good.
That he kind of got lucky the last 2 points.
Okay, so. And Nick, you're the manager of the other team. How are you feeling about this?
Well, obviously we're gutted. But, you know, I'm pleased with the performance that my team gave. You know, that's what it's all about. We go home proud. We did all we could, and we live and learn. We move on, and we prepare for the next game.
Do you know, those interviews always baffle me, because they go to the manager, like the pre-game ones. They go to the manager. They're like, "What are you looking to achieve today?" And they're like, "Well, you know, we just need to hit that ball in that net, really, and just hit it in there as many times as possible." Well, yeah, we know that.
What they say a lot is like, when they say we want to play football, that what that means is it's a term for like getting the ball on the floor and playing like silky football. But if for someone who doesn't watch football, if you hear the manager say, what we want to do is we want to play football, we want to win, you'd be like, of course you do. But they do say that a lot.
Well, yeah. See, if I heard that, I would think they're saying we want to play football. We don't want to keep stopping for all these actors that fall over crying because someone's touched their leg.
Neymar.
I feel they need to be honest as well, managers. You know, if they play, say if, I don't know, let's be topical. Pep Guardiola, Man City, if he's playing a team like Huddersfield and he's like, oh, they're a good team. Don't lie, Pep. They're rubbish. Be honest and say, we're going to win today, 8-0. The other team are rubbish. And be honest. Don't say, oh, they play a good football. They don't.
Hear, hear. Yeah.
Right, well, thanks. Have you enjoyed your time on the podcast, mate?
I loved it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're now going to be famous, so...
Well, yeah. I'm going to go back to Uruguay again and... Live the dream.
Yeah, and you'll be like, you know who I am? I'm Adam from the Uruguay episode of What the Faux Travel Podcast.
And I won the penalty.
Yeah. Well done.
Well done. Good game.
On me head, son.
Referee is a wanker.
Offside.
Penalty.
You fat bastard.
Colo, 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 Toro.
Kick it in the centre of the goal.
You prick.
Moving on from that football fun, we're going to talk about our couchsurfing host in Montevideo, Pedro. He was a great guy, really, really good host. It's what you want when you're couchsurfing. He actually accepted us, even though he had other couchsurfers with him. So he said, look, I haven't got much room, but you're welcome to use what I've got, really. And that was great. That's what we wanted. We couldn't find many other couchsurfing hosts in Montevideo. And by this point, after Punta del Este, we didn't want to pay for accommodation anymore.
We were poor at this point.
We were, but really good guy. So one evening, we were just chilling out in his flat with Pedro. And he was actually hosting a lady friend, Maria.
Ooh.
So we thought this would be a great time to have a little chat.
And embarrass him.
So as Pedro is such a love machine, we wanted to know, what would he do to first get a girl's attention?
The last things that I did in that first day was to throw beer to the lady.
Yeah.
So she get like really wet because I throw the glass of beer.
Okay.
And I don't know why, but it works. so I suppose that's okay.
You actually throw beer over the woman, and you did that to Maria.
Yeah. And I survived, so it's not so bad.
And we dinner and talk a lot. The people of the bar.
Yeah. Kick us out because it's too late.
Oh.
No. Because we talk a lot.
Okay, to get a first date here, Uruguay is really small, so you many times know people because friends or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Uruguay is really small, so if you ask to someone, it's so sure that you know someone, both know someone. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing, a way to meet people. Mm. Go to a party or a birthday and know someone and at the same time, in certain levels, the people is always the same all around. So if you check, you are going to the same pubs and visiting the same places all the time.
Yeah, that's really nice because that's how we met. But in England, especially...
Did he throw your
beer? No, he didn't throw beer over me, no. Luckily, I don't want that to happen to me. But yeah, we met at a party. But like nowadays in England, everybody dates online. Is that a big thing here? Like Tinder? Do you know what Tinder is?
Yeah. But... for younger people, for people 18 years.
Okay, so is it common for the man to make the first move in Uruguay?
Yeah, it's common, but woman... What? He's talking. You're talking with your...
With your body.
Yeah, we can't see your face.
They always wait us to do the first move. Always. They are lazy. They just get quiet again. He's going to come. It's all the time like that.
So is it possible for the woman to chuck beer over the man?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's possible.
Okay.
Have you ever done it?
I think I never done it. We can do it. We can do it.
Yeah, but you don't, so it's the same.
Yeah, well, apart from throwing beer, I think there's a lot of similarity. Yeah, they've made up now. Apart from throwing beer, it seems like there's a lot of similarities between dating Uruguay and dating anywhere in the world. Many of your friends, are they married or not?
Marriage, not many. There's a lot of people living together and even having child. Mm. But wedding is not usual.
Yeah, because we were on a tour today and she was saying that she showed us the one place in Montevideo that you can get married. Mm-hmm. But she said that not many people do that now. It's not a very religious country. So traditionally, or in England, for example, if you meet someone, you date for a bit, you then maybe buy a house, get married, have children. So what's mm-hmm. the traditional timeline here?
First, you will never buy a house because it's so expensive. That is almost impossible, so...
It's turning that way in England now, yeah.
The times...
Yeah, what do you think is typical? You start dating and then two or three years later, maybe you live together? 1 year later? Or 6 months you start living together?
1 year?
Yeah, I guess it's not something really typical. In Uruguay now, there is not much script to do that. The thing have changed... little time ago, and it's still there is nothing something common to do. The people just do stuff. It depends much about your education. Mm-hmm. But to live together, yeah, at this age is something like a year. When you are younger, it's really difficult. It's really difficult to live by yourself. So you can spend 5 years dating someone, being an adult, and live with your parents.
Okay, so to finish this off, can you both give us, you know what a chat-up line is? Do you know what I mean by a chat-up line? Something you first say to the woman, and maybe to the man. So if hey, beautiful.
Like that's something that you would say to impress someone.
But we want it in Spanish. So Pedro, can you give us, in Spanish, your best chat-up line?
It has to be serious.
It can be funny. There's a lot of funny ones in English.
Serious.
¿Quién pudiera ser pitufo para vivir en tu hongo?
Something about living... Wait, say it again. Is it really rude?
Yeah,
really rude.
It's funny, it's about the Smurfs.
About the Smurfs?
Yeah.
The blue...
Yeah.
Okay.
¿Quién pudiera ser pitufo para vivir en tu hongo?
Who...
She's gonna spell you.
Okay.
Translate.
No. I can't repeat that in English.
Okay, well, Pedro, you need to tell us in English.
How you call mushrooms?
Mushrooms, yeah.
Yeah, mushrooms is also a way to say us in Uruguay.
Okay.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm.
Hongo. So the sentence is something, okay. I would like to be a smart to live in your ass.
And that's the first thing you would say to a woman.
By the car, running away.
Yeah.
Nick, when you first met me, did you want to be a Smurf then?
It wasn't the first thing that came to mind. And
sure?
I also didn't have the urge to throw beer over you.
Yes, which I'm quite glad about that one. I'm not sure. I've had beer on me before from the previous World Cup, actually. And that wasn't fun. I had a lot of sticky hair.
I can't imagine that would impress any girl, so I don't get that one.
No, maybe that one's a bit too much of a culture difference. We're sticking with Pedro for the time being because Pedro had a message to encourage tourism in Uruguay.
Uruguay is not too excited. It's nothing much too big to do. It's nothing too cool. It's just quiet. It's a good place to rest.
Sounds great.
It's a good place to come with the family. It's a good place to walk around, but you will not see nothing like, whoa, there's not big shows or amazing, unique culture. It's just nice people being quiet.
Great. So that's Pedro that works for the Uruguayan Tourist Board.
There you go. What a message from a local. It's just a quiet place where people were relaxed and quiet.
It's just like undermined the last hour of work we've done to encourage people to go.
Yeah, thanks, Pedro. But no, I just think that's him being a local. I think that's where that's coming from. I mean, we probably think Essex, there isn't much to do, yet when a foreign person comes here, then they see a lot of difference. So it's still exciting. We've had it incredibly interesting, so
for sure, yeah.
So on that one, Pedro, we're gonna have to disagree with you. I'm sorry. Now let's talk about candombe. Candombe is music and dance that comes from Uruguay, and it originates from African slaves. So you can actually hear it in Paraguay, Argentina and Brazil as well, but we mainly saw it in Uruguay. It's considered an important aspect of culture in Uruguay, and it was actually recognised by UNESCO as a World Cultural Heritage of Humanity. So this music style is based on three different types of drums. So you've got chico, repique and piano drums as well. So that's something that you tried when you were there. I believe you tried the chico drum.
I don't know. I remember it was just a big drum. It's heavy.
Like, yeah.
And these guys marched down the street banging the drum, a bit like what people would imagine Rio Carnival was like in Brazil. And this was like my favourite part of Uruguay. This was actually our last day in Uruguay, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. And I'm just going back to the drum that you played. So I'm pretty sure you did play the chico drum, which suggests that chico is kind of like, it means like boy, little boy. So you'd assume it would be a little drum, but it was still quite heavy, wasn't it?
Yeah, massive.
So this music style is usually played in February during Carnival. So like you're saying, Rio Carnival, that sort of thing. It's usually played in February during Carnival in Montevideo. They also play it at dance parades called Yamadas as well.
So what we did with Pedro, he showed us. Was it like a practice session or was it a full-on, like, just show that people can come and watch?
It was practice, but people still come down to see it. Like, their practices are like shows, really.
Yeah, so he took us out for a couple of beers and he said, yeah, soon they'll be marching through the streets and we'll just have a few beers and follow the drums, you know, watch the music and all the people dancing. And suddenly I was like, wow, like Uruguay came to life for me, because before, like I said, it seemed like a bit of a mini Argentina, but now suddenly I felt like it was a bit more Brazilian, a bit more African. And so we really got to see that side of Uruguay. And watching these drums up close was fantastic. It was so good, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. On our way to get a beer, we asked Pedro what kind of people kind of take part in this performance.
10% of the people is supposed to have African origins.
Yeah.
But they're poverty. The most of the African-related population is still poor people in Uruguay.
Okay.
Even when the slavery was banished 180 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the drumming itself, it's an African thing, but the people doing the drumming are not necessarily all African?
No, not anymore.
Yeah, but it's a real mixture, so that's good.
The groups, sometimes ago, were called Negros y Ñuelos. Negros means black. Ñuelos was the white people that used to paint the face in black to play the drum.
like Pedro was saying there, they have different characters in this performance. So a lot of them are lubolas, which are composed of white people who blacken their skin to be part of the performance. They also have a few characters. So la mama vieja, which means the old mother. So you'll see her kind of at the start. So they all come in waves. So you have all the girls at the front. So there's a group of female dancers, which are called mulatas. And they're kind of dancing at the front to the drums. And then you have the drum ceremony after. But it's so loud. You can hear them from any street that you're standing in. So along at the front with the mulatas, the girls, you have la mama vieja, the old mother. So she does a few specific dances. And you can tell she's old. So she dresses with a wig on and all of that and kind of a stick that she's walking with. You also have El Gramillero, which is the herb doctor. So he's an ancient black man dressed in a top hat and a frock coat carrying a bag of herbs. So he was pretty cool, wasn't he? The man walking in the top hat.
That's the guy to party with.
Yeah. And also you have the El Escobero, which is the broomsman. Now, I remember this man quite a lot. He was carrying a broom, wasn't he? And dancing with the broom. He has to be an expert candombero. So he just dances and juggles and balances with the broom. And he's quite fun to watch, actually. So they all have their character to play. And they're all telling a story about the African slaves. And it's kind of dances that you see around the world. They all tell their own specific story about African slaves. But this was really interesting. It definitely had its own style.
Very interesting. Really, like, quite spectacular to watch. I loved it. And it's nice that in a predominantly white country, they're still holding on to this very important part of their, like, African history.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't actually remember seeing anyone turning their skin black. I don't remember anyone with black paint on.
I didn't see that. That might just be traditionally how it is, but nowadays it's not acceptable. I don't know. But
yeah,
we didn't
see
that.
It could be that it was a practice. It wasn't a real show. Maybe they do that in their real shows.
Very true. Yeah. But if you guys are in Uruguay, this is a must thing to do. Try to catch the, what's it called again, Amy? Candombe drums.
No, it's candombe.
Candombe drums.
You keep adding an R on the end. It's not candombre, it's candombe.
I'm trying to make it sound more exotic and exciting. Candombe. Like bay. Like
you're candombe?
Like you're my bay.
Yeah, I guess so. But it's just B-E on the end. Be. Candombe.
Cool. Got it. All right. That's it.
It is. But well, we've got to rate the country out of 10 like
exactly.
We normally do. I've already got my score. Have you got yours?
Yes. I've been thinking about it while we've been recording.
Okay, after three, say your number, because I'll be interested to see if we have the same one. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Seven.
Yes!
Got it. Nailed it. Do you want to explain why?
Yeah, so love the country. Think it's brilliant. I think they've got lots of really good things going on, like we said earlier with the president, giving 90% of his salary, a lot of renewable energies in the country. They're very forward-thinking. I personally agree with the legalization of marijuana because, especially in the UK at the moment, we've got a lot of news going on with parents protesting to bring marijuana to be legal in the country because it helps with a lot of illnesses. I really agree with it. And I love the way that they track it. So with your fingerprint, I just think they're really forward thinking. They're atheists.
Liberal.
Not that I'm against religion. I love learning about religion when I go to other countries, but it was actually refreshing to go to a country that I agree with more because I'm an atheist myself. Yeah, love it. It's just not one of those countries where I'm like, oh my God, I want to live there. 10 out of 10. Like, it's incredible. I love it. And I'm really glad that I went there. I'd like to go back to the north, but it's not top of my list. So I'm going to give it a strong 7.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of echo what you said. It's nice country, really nice, really glad we went, interesting country, but it hasn't got anything about it which is like, wow, like Brazil's got Rio, and like, you know, when you see a picture of Rio, you know it's Rio, like, whoa, it's spectacular.
So basically you agree with what Pedro said.
I guess I do. But then in Argentina you got places, you know, all of Patagonia in the south, the north, we went to the salt flats and there's mountains and those countries, and you can include, we haven't been to a lot of them, but Chile, Peru, Colombia, they all seem to have quite like wow things. Peru, Machu Picchu, and Uruguay doesn't seem to have any of those wow things. But actually, like, I agree with what you were saying. I agree with how they run the country. And actually, if I was going to live anywhere in South America, although it hasn't got anything spectacular about it, that probably Uruguay is the place we'd probably be most comfortable and have a good life.
True. And actually, when we spoke to Brazilians and Argentinians when we were there, and Paraguayans, they all said Uruguay. It's the best place to live.
They would all admit themselves, like Brazil and Argentina, they would say our own government isn't like stable enough and they're quite corrupt. Like they would admit that, even though Brazil and Argentina have very wow factors and amazing places, I want to go back. But yeah, Uruguay seems a nice, stable place to live and you'd have a good quality of life.
I guess it's all down to the geography of the country then. So where it's placed, where it's positioned, it hasn't got any major mountains and things like that. Like we were saying, it's not like Patagonia.
Yeah, and great beaches, great coastline. There's a lot of cool things to do there. So yeah, I think that's a fair, respectable 7 out of 10.
Absolutely.
So thanks for listening. We are now at the end of this episode. We will see you guys again soon on the next episode of What the Fo Travel Podcast.
Adios.
Please feel free to get in touch with the show. You can do that by checking out our website, www.whatthefotravelpodcast.com. From that, you can find all of our social media channels. We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Our email address is whatthefotravelpodcast@gmail.com.